Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android app store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
It's much bigger than ourselves. Like, it's something that God is really doing to not just impact our area, but to impact areas beyond our area, which leads me into this new series that we're starting today that I'm calling Beyond. Somebody say Beyond. Beyond. And this series is really all about positioning us to take a greater step of faith in our life. I believe that God has more for your life. I believe that God wants to do greater things in your life. I believe that God wants to go beyond what you may initially think he wants to do in your life. I believe Ephesians 3:20 is true, that he will do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond, more than you could actually ask and imagine. I believe that for your life. But here's the challenge and the tension. I don't always believe that you believe that. I believe that for you. But honestly, I think sometimes we don't believe that for ourselves. Like, I really do believe that some of us, like, we even kind of look at other people's lives and we're like, man, we know that God wants to do more in the lives of other people, but I don't know if he wants to do that for me. And I don't really believe that he wants to do that for me. So it's going to be my same old life and my same old relationships, and nothing's going to change in my life. Nothing is going to actually get better. But this series is really going to be a series that's designed to really stretch our faith. It's going to be designed to push us as we are in this holiday season. And really, it's connected to this topic of generosity, because generosity has so much to do with our faith. A lot of times we think that generosity is disconnected from our faith. But during a holiday season where Thanksgiving is here and Christmas is coming, some of you guys got Christmas trees already up. We're probably going to put ours up this week. Some of y'all are like, but it's not even Thanksgiving. Let me tell y'all something about Thanksgiving. They don't make no movies about Thanksgiving. Seriously. Like, the only thing that's good about Thanksgiving is the food, right? But Christmas, man, there's something super cool about it. And elf and Santa Claus, and, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm just joking. Some of y'all got really offended by the fact that I said Thanksgiving is not that cool. But we're in this holiday season, you know, and this month, at the end of this month, is Black Friday, and people are going to be shopping like crazy, and, you know, people are just constantly buying stuff, and I want to take us beyond the norm of culture, because oftentimes this is a time where it becomes very consumeristic, but I want to deliver us and get us to a place where we're not thinking about ourselves, but we begin to think about what God wants to do through us to impact the lives of other people. By all means, do not think that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with buying stuff for yourself. Not at all. The Bible talks about how God blesses us with things for our enjoyment, but that is not the chief purpose in which he blesses us with things. Amen. He blesses us with things so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen. That's why he gives it to us. Amen, somebody. So the Bible is littered with all of this theme, and Jesus even says it, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so I want to move us to a place where we go to a new place in God, where we are going beyond where we are, and that being so much connected to what God wants to do through our lives. So the next few weeks is we're going to really be talking about this. And it's not really just a series about generosity. At the core of it, it's really a series about stretching your faith and believing God for amazing things. And it's also a series that's going to prepare us as we really conclude the year. At the end of every year, for the past few years, we have always done kind of what we call an end of the year offering, where we bring to God our best gift above and beyond what we may normally give, as we reflect on what he has done all year and up to this point, and also as we anticipate what he's going to do next year. It's because of our generosity that we're able to make videos and get sound equipment and be able to provide resources and be able to bless our community. It's because of the people's generosity like yourselves that allows us to be able to give, to seeing new churches like ours get planted years down the road. God wants to do something beyond what you think is ordinary. And so that end of the year offering, which we're going to do in the second Sunday of December, I'm telling you now so you can begin to pray about it and just really lean into it. I want you to begin to seek God as it relates to God. What is it that you want me to offer up? Whatever it looks like. Is it my best? That's the question that I want us to all to ask ourselves. And so for the next few weeks, you're going to be hearing testimonies and stories about how God has changed so many lives through the ministry of this church, because people have gone beyond themselves to make a difference in the lives of other people. And that leads us to today's message, part one of this series, Beyond, which I'm going to preach from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And if you don't have a Bible, we got it for you on the screen. And I bless God for our amazing team who serves and makes a difference, and our incredible team who not just serves in our production area, but all of our team who serves in our church. Church, can y'all make some noise for our amazing team who serves every week? Amen. People who go beyond themselves to serve and be generous. Here's what it says in John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha was serving them, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, last week we preached a message on honor and how honor requires action. And we talked about how Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples to show honor. And today here we are talking about feet again. Some of y'all came here like, yo, last week, bro, I gave you a pass because I don't like feet, but I listened to it. Today you're talking about feet again. I'm not cool with that. But there's something powerful here. It says she wiped his feet with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Verse 7 says, Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." And I want to preach part one of this series, Beyond, from this title. It's a matter of perspective. Tell the person beside you, it's a matter of perspective. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your word. We pray, God, that you would fill us with both. In Jesus' name, and every person said, amen. It's a matter of perspective. I ran across this quote from a guy by the name of Henry David Thoreau, an American philosopher and poet. He said something that was very powerful that I figured was connected to our message today. He says, "It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see." It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. And I love that saying, because I think what it communicates is that we can be looking at the same situation, but see something totally different. We can be looking at the same events play out, but be looking at them from different vantage points. It's like, you know, you're watching a sports game, you're watching a football game or a basketball game, and you're cheering for one team and somebody else is cheering for another team. Both of you guys see the same game play out, but only one wins and only one loses. And now what happens is we see the same, or we're looking at the same event, but from two totally different perspectives. One from a winning perspective, the other from a losing perspective. And I want you to know today that so much of your life has so much to do with your perspective. Your perspective shapes everything. And much of what God wants to do in our lives is not on the outside, but it's on the inside. It's perspective. I love the fact that we just sang this song about how we want God to fill us and to set us on fire. In other words, to give us this passion, not on the outside, but on the inside. God is more concerned about a transformation on the inside than the outside. Because if the interior is transformed, it will lead to an external transformation. But what we typically do is we get so fixated on the surface that we don't realize that what's beneath the surface is of most importance. Today, I want us to have a perspective alignment. I want us to have the right perspective. Your perspective, what I mean by that, the lens in which you view things, The lens in which you view people, the lens in which you view your relationships, the lens in which you view God, the lens in which you view politics, the lens in which you view things, that is your perspective, and it shapes how you conduct your lives. Your perspective is what leads you and oftentimes shapes the decisions that you make. Your perspective of people shapes how you treat people. I don't know if you know that or not. Like, if you were struggling trying to figure out, man, why am I so mean to this person? Because your perspective of them is toxic. Your perspective is everything. And so much of what you see in Scripture, God is constantly trying to correct perspective. Because it has to deal with the heart. It has to deal with how I view things. It has to deal with how I center myself. How I perceive and how I view my spouse shapes how I treat my spouse. How I view my finances shapes how I use my finances. How I view my relationships, it shapes how I really value those relationships and how I treat them. Perspective is everything. Somebody say perspective. And today, what God wants us to know more than anything else is that in order for me to take you to a new place, because I want to do it, it's what he's saying, it's going to start with your perspective. This is the heart of the matter. And many of us want God to do exceedingly abundantly more. But we don't want to humble ourselves and get our perspectives in agreement with his. We don't want to humble ourselves and ask ourselves the question, is my perspective intact? And this passage that we're reading and that we're looking at here in John chapter 12 has everything to do with this power of perspective. And it's interesting because it's centered around this concept of generosity. It's interesting because when you look at the Bible, generosity in a biblical sense has to do with how we use our finances and our resources and our abilities and our time. Generosity and being generous to God is one of the ways I do that is through my giving to God through the local church. It's through my offerings. It's giving to the kingdom of God. It's advancing the kingdom of God through investing my resources. The Bible is filled with all of this. But being generous to God is also about not just through my giving, but also through my serving, using my abilities to serve others, using my resources to bless others, using my abilities to influence and to make somebody else's life better for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's what generosity is all about. And all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, you constantly see this principle of generosity. And you constantly see God speaking to his people about correcting this or making sure that they're honoring him in this way. In the New Testament, it is no different. There's this constant scarlet thread, if you will, about what generosity means. And oftentimes, generosity is attached to people's perspective. In this passage here in John chapter 12, it's all about that. It's all about perspective here. And we see two different perspectives as a result of what happens in this passage. But before I kind of get into the main meat of this text, verses 1-2 says something very powerful that really kind of sets up, it gives an alley-oop, if you will, for basketball fans. Lonzo Ball to LeBron James, you know what I'm saying? LeBron James. I'm a Laker fan, man, so you know, we ain't been good for years, you know. So I got to rep LeBron James. But this text in verses 1-2 gives this alley-oop to what you see happen the rest of it. Verses 1-2, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, the one that Jesus had raised from the dead. And so there, they gave a dinner for him there. In some of your translations, it may say, in honor of Jesus, they gave a dinner for him. Why is this so powerful? Because immediately in this passage, you see this principle of generosity and how it's attached to this idea of honor. We talked about honor last week. How honor is not about just, you know, it's not just about how you think of somebody. It's also how you treat somebody. That honor has to require some action. I have to do something to actually show honor. And one of the things you got to understand about Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Jesus was very close to this family. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were brothers and sisters. And constantly you would see Martha and Mary being hospitable to Jesus. They were always inviting Jesus into their home. The question I want to ask you this is today, are you constantly inviting Jesus into your space? Do you constantly invite Jesus into your arena? Do you constantly invite Jesus into your relationships? Are you inviting him into your marriage? Are you inviting him into your life? Are you inviting him into the decision-making process of your life?
One of the things that you see here is Mary and Martha, they extend honor to Jesus by throwing him this dinner. True honor results in action. And as this story unfolds, we see an amazing act of generosity. Mary honors Jesus by being generous through anointing his feet. In other words, she is submerging his feet with what you see she uses, which is this expensive jar of oil or ointment or perfume, if you will, this expensive pure nard. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. But she shows us that generosity requires something. That it doesn't just require action. It doesn't just require deeds. At the core of it, it requires perspective. And matter of fact, let me say it like this. It requires a pure perspective. That's the first point in case you're taking notes. Because here in this passage, you see two perspectives as it relates to generosity. The first one is pure, and I'm going to talk about that now. Notice verse 3, it says this. Then Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. The Bible says that she breaks open this bottle of pure and expensive nard and pours it out on Jesus. She anoints his feet. The word anoint all throughout the Bible always spoke of this sacred act that you would see taking place in the Bible, which represented really in the Old Testament, especially a pouring of the oil on somebody to really represent that they were set apart, to really reveal their value, to reveal their worth. What Mary is doing is she's revealing how valuable Jesus is to her by pouring out this amazing, and the Bible says here, pure. And the reason why this is so important is because this word pure simply means genuine or faithful or true or authentic. I like that word authentic because you come across a lot of counterfeits in today's time. You know, I love getting tennis shoes and stuff like that. And oftentimes people are selling Jordan shoes and they're always selling out and Nike shoes and things of that nature. And it's interesting because, you know, as they constantly sell out, there's always people out here trying to make fake ones. Counterfeits. And anybody who knows anything about them can tell a counterfeit a mile away when it comes to them. I believe you're the same way. I believe kids are the same way. That they can smell a fake a mile away. They can tell if a perspective is pure or not. And Mary breaks open this alabaster jar of pure oil, this pure perfume. It is really bigger than what she poured out. It was a perspective that she modeled here. It was a revelation of her heart. It showed that her heart was pure. Her perspective was pure. A pure perspective is one that sees Jesus for what he's worth. That's what a pure perspective is all about. Seeing Jesus for who he's worth. Mary believed that Jesus was worth everything that she was pouring out. She believed that Jesus was worth every ounce of this pure perfume that she was pouring out. She believed that Jesus was worth everything that she had to offer him. Her gift to Jesus is a reflection of her heart posture towards Jesus. Now, some of us like aren't moved by that. Some of us like none of that is glamorous at all. Or here's the reason why it's glamorous for Mary. You gotta really understand what's happening here in this passage. The Bible says that there's a few people here at this gathering: Martha, Mary, Jesus, the disciples, and one other character by the name of Lazarus. And if you know anything about scripture, a chapter prior to this, Lazarus was dead. Gone. The Bible says he was dead for 4 days. His body was stinking. Not just stinking, stank. Stank. Musty, nasty, decaying, no hope. And it was interesting because the Lazarus didn't just drop dead. He actually got sick, and word had got back to Jesus that Lazarus, his good friend, BFF, if you will, hashtag BFF, was sick. And you know what Jesus says when he finds out that Lazarus is sick? He says, the Bible says he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Now, I don't know about you. That's kind of savage. Your best friend is sick, and you have no urgency to move at all. Good friend of yours, somebody close to your heart, is sick, terminal illness, and he doesn't move a limb. And then days go by, and word comes back to Jesus, and they say, Lazarus, Lord, he's died. You know what Jesus says?
man, I'm so sorry. You know what he says to the disciples when they come back with that report? Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad. Hold on, bro. This is savage Jesus. Are you kidding me? This is the Messiah? God incarnate, the one who is close to the brokenhearted, and yet he would say, Lazarus, he is dead. He's falling asleep. That's what he would say oftentimes to denote somebody was dead. And for your sake, I'm glad. Why would Jesus say such a savage thing? Such a insensitive thing? Jesus, how could you not be sensitive in this moment? How can you call yourself compassionate and yet you got the nerve and the gall to say, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad? Because Jesus was getting ready to reveal himself in a way that they had never seen before. And had Lazarus not died, they would have never seen Jesus for being the resurrection and the life. And so Jesus meets up with Mary and Martha, and he says, take me to where y'all have laid him. Take me to where he's been buried. And the Bible also shows how Jesus is actually compassionate. And it says that when he got there, it says he wept. He cried. He was literally pouring out his heart because he was grieved by the fact that Lazarus was dead. But this would not end the story, because Jesus would tell them, roll back the stone. And as they would roll back the stone, Jesus would say, Lazarus, come out. And little by little, you're beginning to hear the noise take place in this tomb. You're hearing commotions start to take place. And all of a sudden, a miraculous thing that nobody has ever seen takes place, where Lazarus, who was dead, Thriller dead, comes walking out of the grave. Amen. Alive and well. Amen. Fast forward to John chapter 12. Not only was he alive and well, brother is sitting back, reclining, feet up, chilling. The Bible says he was reclining at dinner with Jesus. I don't know about y'all. I'm freaked out by this. Homeboy was just dead. Now he chilling. Like, hey, yo, what's up, yo? What I miss? Huh? Did I miss Martha's good cooking again? Did I miss her chili? Dang, bro. And I think this registered with Mary. Because Mary just saw her brother, somebody who was close to, somebody she cared for, somebody she longed for, who was dead, had no hope, and Jesus stepped in and resurrected him and brought him back to life, to the point where he's sitting here having a meal with her. Do you know what her response is? A pure perspective, where now she gives her best to him as a sign of thanksgiving. As a sign of worship, saying to Jesus, Jesus, I'm so grateful for what you have done for my family. I'm so grateful for what you have done for me. I'm so grateful for how you've opened up this door, how you've literally brought the dead back to life. The least that I can do is to give you the best of what I have in response to what you have done. She has this pure perspective that was anchored in what Jesus had done for her. When you realize how much God has blessed you, when you realize how much God has been faithful to you, how much he's restored you, how he's provided for you, how he's healed your relationships, how he's blessed your life, the natural response should be that I want to offer to God the best of what I have, because he's given me the best of who he is. That is why we do it. This goes beyond just a superficial reason just to be generous, because it just sounds good, just because it feels good, just because it is good. All those things are good, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the chief among them all is this: God has been good. Amen. He's been good to you. He's restored things. There have been things that you've prayed for that God has done exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. Amen. How did you respond in that moment? Was it just a thank you? Did you just go back to doing what you normally did? Or did you actually change something in your life? Was there actually something that took root there where it said, God, because of what you have done for me, this is what I bring to you. My best. Matter of fact, Paul would say this like this in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, in other words, in view of all that God has done, perspective, in view
of what God has done. In perspective, in light of what God has done, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. In other words, in perspective, in light of all that God has done, and you shouldn't have to look too far in your life to see all that God has done. And all that God has done, it should compel you and I to offer our best. This is a pure perspective. Here's what you got to understand also about what Mary's doing here. What she offered up to Jesus was this pure nard. It was a costly thing. It was a costly item. And it was a sacrifice. Why was it a sacrifice? Because one of the things you got to understand about this pure nard, as the Bible says here in verse 3, and how she wiped his feet with it, it was one of the most rarest things that you could find in that first century time. It wasn't something you could just go pick up like on the shelf at Walmart. It wasn't just something you could just go order off of Amazon. You know how you go to stores and they don't have the price tag on it? Y'all ever been there? You ever like went across something and you were like, man, I like this, but don't have no price tag on it. I don't know about this one. This is rare. Layaway. This nard that she had wasn't just some common thing. It was something was extremely valuable. It was something that you could not just find wherever you went. As a matter of fact, studies have shown that this pure, expensive nard, the Bible says expensive, which means it was costly. People have actually broken this down into dollars and cents in our context, and people have gone to say and argue that this would probably be worth about $11,000. Do y'all see what she's doing? She's breaking open the bank for Jesus. She says, I'm pouring out everything. And one of the things that you got to also understand about pure nard back then, because you just couldn't get it anywhere, oftentimes it was passed down from family member to family. It was generational. So here's the perspective. Mary probably had this thing chilling, waiting for the right time to use. And she was probably waiting to use this on something that was valuable. Something that would go beyond what this thing was actually even worth. She says, I'm going to give this most valuable treasure that I have because the one who has changed my life is worth it. Amen. She has this pure perspective. She goes beyond the norm to do what she did for Jesus. Being generous in a way that honors God is going above and beyond what's conventional and comfortable. It means that I don't offer to God my least. It means I offer to him my best. This is one of the things that we're trying to teach our kids right now, that when you get something, when we give you some money or some allowance, you make sure you give to God first, because you didn't have to have what you have. So as a way in which we show gratitude to God, we give back to God. And then we use the rest to do whatever it is that we need to handle and whatever other things that God leads us to be a blessing with. That's what we do. That is how we honor God. We give him not our least, we give him our best. And she even wipes his feet with this. And the Bible says she even does so with her hair. Her hair. Why is this mind-blowing? Now, ladies in here, y'all can really get with this. If any man came to you and said, hey, you mind washing my feet with your hair? Some of y'all are like, no, I can't, because this is a track and I paid too much for this. No, bro, you ain't worth that much. Women wearing their hair down or bringing their hair down in this culture was one of the most disgraceful things that you could do. It immediately diminished your value in the eyes of culture and in the world. Mary unravels her hair, because Jewish women in that context wore their hair up. She unraveled her hair and she washes her hair. She washes the feet of Jesus. She anoints his feet with this pure perfume, this pure nard, using her hair. What is she saying? That my value is not in what I possess. My value is in Jesus. It's in Jesus. It's not in anything else. My value is not in my appearance. My value is not in how much money is in my bank account. My value is not in how many people I got following me on Facebook, how many friends I got, how many likes, like a picture. My value is rooted and grounded in Jesus. She wipes the feet of Jesus, and she doesn't do this to draw attention to herself. She does this to put the attention on Jesus. I'll say it like this, that we aren't generous to receive attention, but to give attention. We are generous to God to give him the attention that he deserves. That is what a pure perspective is all about. She gave a pure offering to Jesus because she had a pure heart for Jesus. Her heart was all about Jesus. It wasn't about herself. It wasn't about what she could gain. It was about how she could glorify Jesus. And I love how the Bible is filled with so many different principles and expressions of this. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 22 through 24, it says this, then David said to Ornan, give me this threshing floor plot so that I may build an altar to the Lord on it. Give it to me for the full price so the plague on the people may be stopped. Ornan said to David, take it, my lord, the king may do whatever he wants. See, I give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. Here's what Ornan is saying to David. Hey, bro, look, you could just have it, man. You ain't got to pay me nothing. You know, it's not going to cost you nothing, this, that, and the third. That's pretty much what he's saying. Here's what David says. King David, who was a man after God's own heart, as the Bible says, King David answered him saying, no, I insist on paying the full price, for I will not take for the Lord what belongs to you, or watch what it says, or offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing. I will not offer to God something that did not cost me anything. I will offer to God something that is costly because it reflects my heart. If I offer to God something that does not cost me anything, it shows how I view God. But when I offer something to him that costs me something, it shows that he's valuable in my eyes. Let me say it like this, that pure offerings only flow from pure hearts. Pure offerings. And it's not about how much. It's about how good it is. The best of it. When our perspectives and our hearts are pure, it overflows in generosity in our lives. And I'm grateful for that our church is extremely generous. I'm grateful that not only do we give regularly and we honor God in that way, but we're serving and we're going to be a blessing on Thanksgiving and going to be a part of what the Peninsula Rescue Mission is doing and feeding families and people in our community who don't have any place to go. I'm grateful that a few weeks ago we served over at Burbank and we're just being the hands and the feet of Jesus. I'm grateful that in December we got some other cool initiatives that we're going to do to be a blessing. Because when we have been blessed by God, we will be a blessing for God. That is what we do. He wants to take you beyond yourself, beyond what's normal, beyond what's comfortable, beyond what's convenient. That's the first perspective. And I spent a lot of time on that because I want you to get that in your heart. That's the one I want you to have. That you can either have a pure perspective when it comes to being generous, or you can have a polluted perspective. And this is where Judas comes in. Verses 4 through 6 says this. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, said, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Don't that sound kind of noble? Man, she wasted about 11 grand on Jesus. We could have did a whole lot with that. We could have bought a whole lot of meals, fed people. We could have made a whole lot of sandwiches, fish sandwiches. Jesus fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He ain't got to do that now because we got 11 grand worth of meals. We could have did that. We got that bag, bro. But notice what John records here. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of what was put in it. Judas responds to this act of worship of Jesus, this generosity to Jesus, with a toxic, ungodly perspective, a polluted perspective. Judas sounded as if he cared about the will of God. Judas sounded as if he cared about the poor, but he really didn't. He didn't really care about what God wanted to do in the lives of others. He had a polluted and a poisonous perspective. And I don't know if you know anything about something that's poisonous and polluted, but it has the capacity to lead to death. And it's ultimately what led to Judas's downfall. Judas had a polluted perspective, and it led to a downfall. Pride always comes before the fall. And Judas did not have in mind the things of God. He had in mind how he can line his pockets, how he can swell his pockets, how he could keep more for himself, how he could take some from Jesus. He constantly stole from Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. And even though he saw all these miraculous things that Jesus did, he never really received it. Let me pause parenthetically and say this. You can see Jesus do amazing things in your life and you still not be changed from it, not because it's not powerful, but because you don't want to receive it. All day long. I see it all the time. Where we claim to have received the grace of God, but this grace of God has not really done a work in our hearts because our perspectives are still polluted. I want you to know that just as pollution is dangerous and can lead to death when not treated, this poisonous strand of sin and selfishness in your life, if it's not treated, it will lead to decay in your life. It will lead to destruction in your life. It will lead to turmoil in your life. And it's oftentimes attached to how I view generosity. That's a reflection of my heart. Judas questions the worth of what she was doing for Jesus, because when Jesus is not the center of your affections and your heart, when your perspective is not shaped by him, you will always question being generous in every way. And just like Judas, you're masking behind even sometimes something spiritual. That's where it gets real tight. We could have done so much more with this. That's oftentimes not the things that we'll say, but we'll say spiritual things like this as to why we aren't generous in being who God's called us to be and being a blessing or whatever the case may be. We say things like, I don't really feel the Lord leading me to do that. Like, I don't really feel like the Lord is leading me to be kind and compassionate to them. It's real quiet, man. Well, you can hear that rat licking ice right now. You can hear it, man. It's real quiet. We'll say things like, I don't know if God needs what I have. I think he owns cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't really need what I have. We'll say things like, but God knows my heart. And if you say that, that's one of the most dangerous things you can say. I'm going to tell you why, because he does know your heart. And he knows at many times, above all things, the heart can be deceitful. And we say all these spiritual sounding things as to why we can't be who God has called us to be. Oh, you know, God just has me in this place right now where he just wants me to focus on myself. Where is that in the Bible? Oh, I just got to handle my bills. What, really? Do you not realize that the one who provides for you and has said and called you to be generous will take care of you if you would trust him? Do y'all see the polluted perspective? This is Judas. And the Bible says that he was a thief. So anytime that I'm not honoring God the way that I should, I am taking from God. I'm not being generous the way he's called me to. And then I wonder why there's so much blockage in my life. Because you won't allow the grace of God to flow through your life. Here's what Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says. Don't store up for yourselves. I'm getting ready to close. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. In other words, the thing that you are most generous to, the things that you give to the most, that shows where your heart is. He says, no one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The reason we don't oftentimes give and aren't generous to God in the way he would want us to is because we see something that is worth more than God. You know what it is? Ourselves. I'm worth more than God. So I give myself everything. I take care of my own stuff. Because I've now put myself on the pedestal that only Jesus should occupy. And Jesus says right here, listen, man, wherever your heart is, there's your treasure. Whatever you give to, it shows what you value the most. My family and I, we have a practice that every time we receive any type of income from God in any capacity, we give to God off jump. We jump right on the bridgechurchva.com, just like many of you, and we give. Not because we want to please God, but because God has been good to us and it's in response to his grace. And because we value him and we know that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. He is the source of our resources. He is the source of my income. So I give to him because he has graciously given to me. So if I'm praying for a promotion and asking God to bring increase in my life, but I'm not being more increasingly generous, I got a heart problem. Because God did not just bless you to take care of yourself. He did it so that way you could continue to advance the kingdom. To go beyond. And what you offer to God reveals how you view God. So if I only give God a little when I could give him much more than that, it shows and reveals how I view God. And I hear what some of us are saying today, but Pastor Edwin, I'm not in a financial place to be able to give to God in a big, glamorous way. God knows that. That's not the question. Are you giving him your best? Why should I give him my best? Because that's what Jesus did for me on the cross. He now is the standard for my generosity. If Jesus did not give anything less than his best, why should we return the favor with anything less than that? We give him our best, and in the end, we bring to God our best. It is always worth it. Why is it worth it? Because he is worth it. He is worth not just my praise. He is not just worth my glory. He is not just worth the honor. He is not just worth my thanksgiving. He is worth my resources. He is worth my time. He is worth my generosity. I'm so grateful that we've been blessed in our church to have so many incredibly generous people. And I'm grateful that God has blessed us to have relationships outside of our church that are extremely generous. It's incredible. These little strips right here, some of you guys are probably wondering what those are. So these are just like some new lights that we're getting actually put in. And another sister church of ours, in particular Freedom Life Church, some of their staff was like, hey, we just want to be a blessing. We want to help you guys do this. And so they've been working hours upon hours to put these lights up for us without wanting anything in return. Why do they do such a thing? Because God has been good. And we understand that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. That is going beyond what culture says. We do this because God has been good to us. Do you notice what Jesus says in verses 7 through 8? After Judas scolds her for what she did, he says this, leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial, for you will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Jesus is not saying there's anything wrong, there's something wrong with giving to the poor. Matter of fact, he talks about doing that all throughout scripture. But he's talking about this, that when you're doing this, it's really for me. You're giving to me. Give to me. Honor me. That's really what he's talking about here. And I want you to notice the impact of her generosity towards Jesus. When you go back to verse 3, I skipped over a verse intentionally because I wanted to come back to it. It says this, so the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I want you to notice the immediate impact that took place as a result of her generosity. It changed the atmosphere. It changed the environment. Your generosity, my generosity, our generosity changes environments. It changes cultures. It changes cities. Our church is here today because of the generosity of so many people who came before us. And now your lives have been changed as a result of that. People have been saved as a result of that. It had an immediate impact, but it not only has an immediate impact, but when we're generous the way God wants us to, it has an eternal impact. When you look at Mark chapter 14, verse 9, it's actually the same account of this story. And Mark actually records a few additional words that Jesus said in this scene. He says, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. In other words, he's saying this, Mary will be remembered for her generous act towards me. I want you to understand something, family, that your generosity is not about you. It's meant to outlive you. It's meant to not just have an immediate impact, it's meant to have an eternal impact. And Jesus not only rewards her for her perspective, but he says, man, whenever this story is told, you're gonna be a part of it. And I don't know about you guys, man, I wanna be a part of the story that God is telling in lives being changed. So I'm gonna give my best, whether it's tangibly, whether it's through my gifts, whether it's through my abilities, whether it's through my talents, this is what I wanna do. Notice here that Jesus rewards Mary for her generosity, but he rebukes Judas because of his polluted perspective. Mary's generosity was bigger than this moment. It went beyond. I wonder if Mary's in heaven right now with Jesus and Jesus saying, hey, you remember when you anointed my feet because you realized that played a role in my burial, that played a role in my finished work, in my redemptive work? Your generosity plays a role in the redemptive work of Jesus. He says, I want you to realize this life has been changed. That life has been changed. That marriage has been changed. That young person has been changed because you said it wasn't about you. You went beyond. You did above and beyond. Our generosity enables us to be a part of God's amazing plan and changing lives, not just in our community, but all over the world. And y'all, family, that's already happening. It's happening through like our Facebook Live. It's happening through our messages that people who are not even in our city are being impacted by the ministry that's happening in this area. Because people have said, it's not about me, it's about what Jesus can get out of this. Our generosity towards God, it's a matter of perspective. That's what I'm talking about. That's what this whole message was about. It's a matter of your perspective. And you and I can have one of two perspectives. We can either have a pure perspective or we can have a polluted perspective. We can have a pure perspective which says, I'm going to offer to God my best because he's worthy of it. Or you can have a polluted perspective and say, I'm not going to offer God my best because I'm more important. What I think is more important. What I feel is more important. But the better way for all of us today is to have this pure, unadulterated perspective where we say, I'm going to give my best to God because Jesus gave his best to me. Jesus modeled what the perfect, pure perspective looked like. He said, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. That's going beyond. I want to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. That's going beyond. I came to give my life as a ransom, as a payment, as an offering for all people, so that people would find life. That is going beyond. Jesus is the model for what it means to have the right perspective when it comes to generosity. And we as followers of Christ are to follow suit. It's a matter of perspective. And the question I'm going to ask you today, family, is this. How is your perspective? Because maybe for some of us, our perspective has been polluted for so long. Our perspective has been all about us. Our perspective has not been pure. It has not been about what God wants to do. It's been about us. But today, I believe that God wants to do more in your life. He wants to do more through your life. And it's going to happen as a result of you and I humbling ourselves so that he can do great things. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, got 2 moments of prayer right now as we get ready to finish. Here's my first prayer that I want to lead us in. Number one is this. If you can say, Pastor, man, my perspective on generosity has been so polluted for so many years.